Hey, the patient I just brought back to your room has a heart rate in the 20s. I'm going to go grab the EKG machine, is what you hear from your charge nurse who's walking down the hallway. Besides, what would go through your mind if you heard this from one of your coworkers? After hooking the patient up to the 12-lead EKG, you see P waves marching along quite regularly, but quite independently from the QRS complexes, which are also marching along, but at an extremely slow rate of 28 beats per minute. You know this rhythm. It's a third-degree heart block. The provider rushes to the bedside to evaluate the patient, who is amazingly awake and oriented. But she reports that she's been feeling increasingly fatigued over the last few weeks. The provider looks at the EKG and says, "Okay, I'm going to go order some atropine," right before stepping out of the room. You're left with many thoughts going through your head, one of them being, is this the right intervention for the patient? Do you know the answer? We know atropine is part of the symptomatic bradycardia ACLS algorithm, but do you really know how atropine works? Stay tuned, because we're about to speed things up discussing all things atropine and bradycardia. Welcome to the Up My Nursing Game podcast. My name is Annie. I've been a clinical nurse for 8 years, and I am curious. I use this podcast to address common clinical questions, share unique perspectives across the healthcare team, and cover what's missed in nursing school. This podcast has partnered with VCU Health, so that listeners may claim continuing education credits for most episodes. Go to vcu.cloud-cme.com or use the link in the show notes. Are you studying for the CCRN or the PCCN? These are tough exams. I know, as I recently studied for the PCCN myself. I was luckily able to pass the exam by studying with Nicole Kupchick's online self-paced review courses, as well as her book of practice questions. I can't recommend these resources enough, and if you want to up your nursing career, check out her website, NicoleKupchickConsulting.com, and use the promo code UPMYGAME20 to get 20% off all of her products. As a refresher for those who are ACLS certified, atropine is the first-line medication for patients who are experiencing bradycardia with poor perfusion if you cannot find and treat the reversible cause. While atropine is administered primarily intravenously, that's the only way I've seen it administered, it can be administered subcutaneously, intramuscularly, or even endotracheally. The mechanism of action of atropine is honestly, pretty straightforward. So atropine blocks acetylcholine, the primary neurotransmitter of the parasympathetic nervous system. Acetylcholine receptors are located all over the body. But to narrow things down for the purposes of this discussion, we'll point out when acetylcholine binds to the receptors in the SA and AV nodes, the parasympathetic nervous system is activated such that the heart rate decreases. Now, you can think of acetylcholine as a brake pedal for the heart. So when acetylcholine binds to the receptors in the SA and AV nodes, you can think of it as stepping on the brakes. But in symptomatic bradycardia, we don't want to press the brakes. We want our foot off the brakes. And this is where atropine comes in. So atropine prevents acetylcholine from binding to those receptors on the SA and AV nodes, meaning that it blocks that brake pedal from being pressed. And this is the mechanism that we are using to speed that heart rate back up. Now that we understand how atropine works to speed up the heart rate, we can look at how it might be effective in treating different types of bradycardia or slow heart rhythms. For pure and simple sinus bradycardia, atropine will work beautifully. Atropine will prevent acetylcholine from stimulating the SA node. The SA node will then start firing electrical impulses more quickly to the AV node, down to the bundle of His, and then the left and right bundle branches to the Purkinje fibers. It's really as straightforward as that. But we don't really live in such a textbook perfect world, do we? And for this reason, we need to talk about the different kind of bradycardia situations in which atropine should not be given. And these are very important. I'm going to break it down into two categories here: heart block and ischemia. So heart blocks. The AHA guidelines warn us to not give atropine for second degree type 2 and third degree heart blocks. Remember that for these blocks, the block is often below the AV node, such as in the bundle of His or at the bundle branches. Since we know that atropine works primarily at the SA node, it makes sense that atropine won't speed up the ventricles, since few, if any, of these impulses pass between the atria and the ventricles. If you haven't listened to episode 44 of this podcast, I suggest that you do. In that episode, I discussed a rapid response that I called in which my patient who was in a second degree heart block bradied down during an episode of vasovagal syncope. The guest, Sarah, and I thoroughly discussed interventions for symptomatic bradycardia. I suggest a listen. But for this episode, we're just talking about atropine. So back to the second reason why atropine should be held for symptomatic bradycardia is when ischemia is present and the cause of bradycardia. The idea here is that an increase in heart rate goes hand in hand with an increase in oxygen demand of the heart. An increase in heart rate can potentially worsen the oxygen supply demand balance and exacerbate that ischemia. With this in mind, it's a good idea to get a 12-lead and a troponin level before administering atropine. With all this discussion of symptomatic bradycardia, I want to point out something very important in that the number one intervention that you can do for your patient who is experiencing symptomatic bradycardia is to prepare for transcutaneous pacing. Only after pacing pads are in place and ready to go should you even consider atropine. Okay, putting symptomatic bradycardia to rest, what else can atropine do? Another way to think of this question is, when do we want to block the parasympathetic nervous system? Now, atropine is kind of like a jack of all trades, and it has multiple indications beyond its cardiac effects that we've been talking about. One example is atropine can be given preoperatively to counter some of the unwanted effects of anesthesia, such as excess salivary secretions and bradycardia. In a similar vein, you may have administered atropine drops orally in comfort care patients. In this case, atropine is used to dry up respiratory secretions to prevent that death rattle. Another reason, and I found this one fascinating, is that atropine is used as an antidote for certain poisonings like insecticides and nerve agents. In these cases, atropine works by blocking the effects of excess acetylcholine, which is associated with these poisonings. I'll just rattle off a few more here. Atropine is also used as eye drops to dilate pupils, treat excessive sweating, and prevent GI spasms and IBS. Pretty cool, huh? If you're like me, and you're really curious about what happened to the patient at the top of the episode who presented to the ED with a heart rate of 28, let me fill in the rest of the story. So this was a real patient scenario experienced by my co-producer, Stephanie. If you were wondering if this patient got atropine, the answer is no. The patient ended up having an elevated troponin, meaning that the cause was potentially ischemic. Cardiology was consulted, and the patient was admitted with plans for a possible pacemaker. Personally, I saw atropine given for the first time in my 8-year nursing career just the other day. A patient who wasn't my own arrived from the cath lab. He had a femoral access site. He reported being in pain and quickly bradied down along with his blood pressure, sort of a vasovagal picture. We ended up pushing atropine, and within about a minute, his heart rate went from the 30s and 40s to about 100. With all the times I've discussed atropine on this podcast and heard it talked about in ACLS classes, it was pretty cool to see it given in real life. All right, that just about wraps it up here. I hope that by now you will feel more confident in your understanding of atropine. Once you understand how it blocks the parasympathetic nervous system, it's actually a pretty straightforward drug. Equally as important, you'll know how to question orders for atropine if there's any concern for heart block or ischemia. If you've stuck around this far into the episode, you've probably gotten a lot of value from this podcast. This podcast and the CEs are all free. And the only thing I ask in return is for you to share this podcast with your fellow nursing friends who would also enjoy this free, entertaining, and portable educational resource. This will help me to continue to grow the show so that I can produce more of these high-value episodes for you. That's it for today. I hope that you have upped your nursing game.